ترجمها اكتبها انت وهم قبل ما يترجم الليل. خلاص ما ضلش شيء. وهاي الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. هنا سؤال: هل يجوز أن نقول الله في كل مكان بعلمه لا نقصد بذاته؟ نعم، الله بذاته في السماء وبعلمه في كل مكان، هذا هو الإجابة الأولى.
شيخ حفظه الله was asked by a questioner, may Allah bless them whoever they are, that is it permissible to say Allah is everywhere in knowledge, that He has knowledge of everywhere? Not in essence? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything, everywhere, and He is not everywhere in essence.
أنا تقول هنا سؤال: أنا امرأة مسلمة وأحب العبادة، ولكن مع الصلاة وقراءة القرآن أشعر بقسوة في قلبي لا يتحرك مع آيات العذاب ولا تدمع العين، فما هو العلاج لقسوة قلبي؟ أولا، حتى نشعر بالخشوع لا بد أن نتدبر كتاب الله عز وجل، العلم بكتاب الله التدبر. ثانيا، أن نقرأ سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وسيرة أمهات المؤمنين وسيرة السلف الصالح. ثم أن نهتم بمعرفة الحلال من الحرام، فإن هذا الشيء أيضا يجعل في القلب خشوع. ولعل الله نكثر من الدعاء أن الله عز وجل يجعل قلوبنا خاشعة وكذلك جوارحنا خاشعة. وكلما سمعنا قولا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أمر ائتمرنا به ومن نهي تركنا.
Shaykh Habibullah was asked by a questioner, Jazahallahu khayran. I'm a Muslim woman and I love to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love to read and the Quran and pray, but I do not feel except that my heart is hard and I do not cry at the remembrance of Allah. Shaykh Habibullah, he said, well, it's necessary and binding upon you that you ponder upon the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you learn exactly what is being said to you, and that you read in the seerah the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and the lives of his wives ummahat al-mu'minin radiyallahu anhunna and the salaf as-salih seerah as well. These are all things that will help you will soften your heart to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, to pay attention to that which is halal and haram in your life, so that the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam comes to you and you act upon it, and the prohibition comes to you and you prohibit yourself from that which is prohibited.
هنا ايضا سؤال: قلت في الحديث ان الميت يسمع قرع نعالنا، هل الموتى يسمعون بعضهم في القبور؟ وهل يتأذى من بجواره اذا كان يعذب؟ الجواب: إذا سمع قرع النعال هو في تلك اللحظة فقط يسمع، بعدها لا يسمع. ثانيا، هل يجوز قبر المسلمين بين قبور النصارى خاصة إذا كان هناك مقبرة إسلامية؟ إذا كان هناك مقبرة إسلامية فيدفن في مقبرة المسلمين.
الشيخ حفظه الله was asked, Ya Shaykh, you said that the dead person, he hears the footsteps of those leaving his grave. Now, do the people, the dead around him, hear it as well? And are they punished or are they harmed by the sounds or punishment that they hear from his grave? Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, well, those footsteps are the last thing that the person will hear. And he will only hear it for that moment and he will not hear anything afterwards. And is it permissible to bury the Muslim in the graves of the other than the Muslim's graveyard, if there is a Muslim graveyard there? He said, no, it's not permissible. Rather, the Muslim should be put in the Muslim graveyard.
قال يقول الشيخ قال أن الله في السماء ونحن نعلم أن الله فوق العرش ونعلم أيضا أنه ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا فهل نقول أنه مستوى على عرشه استواء يليق به ونقول أيضا أنه ينزل نزول يليق به؟ قلنا الله في السماء فهو فوق العرش لقوله عز وجل أأمنتم من في السماء، فالله عز وجل في السماء فوق العرش، الرحمن على العرش استوى، وهو القاهر فوق عباده، إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. فالله عز وجل على العرش صفة العلو صفة تليق به سبحانه وتعالى من غير أن نكيف أو نمثل أو نشبه. وأن الله ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا في الثلث الأخير من الليل، فنزوله نزول يليق به سبحانه وتعالى من غير تكييف ولا تشبيه ولا تمثيل. نثبت لله صفة النزول من غير الكيفية، نعم، نفوض الكيفية، لا يجوز أن نفكر في الكيفية حتى لا نشبه. ولذلك هؤلاء الذين ضلوا في صفة الله عز وجل أرادوا أن ينزهوه فعطلوا الصفة.
Sheikh said that, the questioner asked, Jazakallah khairan, that the Sheikh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the sky, and likewise we know He's upon His throne or over His throne, and we know likewise that He comes down to the sama' al-dunya, to the heavens of the dunya. So do we say that He is above His throne in a manner that befits Him alone, and we do not say how? That it just befits Him, and we say the same thing about His descending down to the lowest heaven or the heavens of the dunya, that He descends in a way that befits Him and His majesty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are you or have you safeguarded yourselves from the one that is in the sky? Do you feel secure from the one that is in the sky? And he says, the merciful upon the throne. Istawa. Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. Has ascended over the throne. And he says, the good actions, they rise up to him, and the good deeds push them further. All of these are proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high and above His creation. So He is high above the throne. He has ascended over the throne in a manner that befits Him alone. Likewise, He came down to the heavens of the earth in a manner that befits His majesty and greatness. And we know this because He descends down in the last third of the night to the heavens of the earth. All of this, we believe in it as it has come. We believe in this characteristic and the manner that it has come. We do not give it a certain yet we don't give it away. That is, we don't know how, so we don't ask how. Nor do we give it an example of, or a similar making a similitude between it and the ascension or descension of the creation. Nor do we nullify that He does so. Nah. So we don't do these things. Rather, we establish that He's above His throne, and that He descends to the lowest heaven, and all of this without giving it a takif, explaining how He does it. We don't know how He does it. Nor do we give it an example of making it similar to that of the creation, because He is not like His creation. Nor do we nullify it and make it something that is nullified, trying to say, no, Allah, this is not befitting of Allah, so He doesn't do it. We don't nullify it, rather we establish it. And how he does it is up to him, and he does it in a way that befits his majesty and might.
سؤال هل يحصل المتوفى على ثواب ما أو أي نوع من الفائدة من زيارة أبنائه للقبر ودعائهم له هناك؟ قد سمعت أن قراءة القرآن في المقابر لا تجوز، فهل هذا صحيح؟ الجواب: زيارة القبور من أجل الاعتبار والاتعاظ، أما إن أراد أن يدعو للأموات أو يدعو للميت فإنما هو يدعو من أي مكان هو فيه، لا يشترط أن يأتي القبر فيدعو له، لقوله عز وجل: وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. فلا عبرة ولا فائدة في أن يأتي أولاد المتوفى فيدعون لأبيهم عند القبر، إنما يصل هذا الدعاء لله عز وجل من أي مكان. أما قراءة القرآن في المقابر فلا تجوز، فهذا صواب صحيح، الميت لا يسمع ولا يستفيد من قراءة القرآن، خلاص انتهى الموضوع، لما مات انقطع عن هذه الدنيا، ما فائدة أن نقرأ عليه القرآن؟ القرآن للأحياء حتى يتدبروه ويعملوا بما فيه.
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'a was asked about, does the dead person get any reward for his family members going to the grave and making dua for him? Or is there any benefit in them going, making dua for him? And I heard that reading the Quran in the graveyard is not permissible. The person makes dua wherever he is for his family member or the dead. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and let them call upon me, for I am the one that answers the calling of the caller when he calls. So make dua for your dead wherever you are. There is no benefit to going to the grave. There is no meaning in going to the grave and making dua at the grave. Reading the Quran in the graveyard, what you heard is right. It is not permissible. The Quran is to be read by the people that are living. As for the dead, they are dead and gone, and their actions has been cut off, and there is no benefit in reading at the graveyard for the dead. He doesn't benefit from this. He's dead and gone. Rather, the Quran is to be recited by those that are alive for themselves.
ورد في القرآن الكريم كلمة نحن، مثل إنا نحن نزلنا الذكرى، فكيف نشرح للمسلمين الجدد أن الله واحد؟ في بعض الآيات نحن، هذه إن نحن أي أن الله عز وجل له العظمة وله القدرة، وهذا من باب تفخيم الله عز وجل وتشريفه وهيمنته وإثبات فوقيته وقدرته وإحاطته، فله العظمة. فلا يعني هنا بمعنى نحن أن آلهة في السماء متعددة، إنما الله أكبر في السماء وهو عظيم، يعبد في الله في السماء ويعبد في الأرض، فهو إله في السماء وإله في الأرض، فله أن يقول إنا نحن، كما بعض الملوك تقول نحن لوصفهم بالعظمة والقدرة، وصفهم بالعظمة وأنهم يعني في مكان عال وأصحاب سمو. نعم.
The questioner, Jazahullah Khairan, asked, how do we explain to a new Muslim the term we in the Quran, such as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stating, verily we have revealed unto you the remembrance and we will protect it? Shaykh Hafidhullah said, nahnu here, we, the word we here is the glorifying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of himself and showing his greatness and his majesty and him being over the slaves. This term we, nahnu, is a term of glorifying. Like some of the, yani Allah, he further on goes to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the Lord in the sky, he is the Lord upon earth, he is worshipped in both places. So it is for him. He has the right to say we, for he is great. And he has that majesty to be able to refer to himself as we. And you might find this with some of the kings that think that they have reached a station that is great and a lofty place in this dunya, referring to themselves when decreeing certain things. We decree such and such. It is something they try to do as well. So it's kind of like this from the linguistic point of view. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we. He does not mean that there is other lords beside him in the sky or other lords beside him in the earth, or other deities to be worshipped beside him. Rather, he is referring to himself in a manner that is glorifying him. Now,
سؤال ماذا نفعل لنزداد علما بالله أن نتقي الله. الله عز وجل يقول واتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله فمن خاف الله تعلم كتاب الله ولم يعرض عنه. من خاف الله عمل بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. من خاف الله ترك الحرام. من خاف الله صدق. إذن التقوى، كلما ازددت تقوى ازددت قربا من الله، كلما ازددت علما وتقوى ازددت قربا من الله، ولك أن تدعو الله أن يجعلك من المتقين. فتقول على سبيل المثال اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها، وهكذا يعينك الله على تزكية نفسك. وهناك أذكار كثيرة في هذا الباب تستعين بالله عز وجل على أن يجعلك من أهل التقوى وأن يجعلك ممن يتعلمون كتابه ويتقونه.
The questioner, جزاه الله خيرا, asked, what is the means or how are we to attain knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase our knowledge in Allah? The Shaykh حفظه الله, he said that is that you have taqwa of Allah, you are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever has fear of Allah, then he will not reject the commandments and orders of Allah, nor will he take heedlessly the prohibitions of Allah. Rather, he will implement that which he is ordered with and prohibit himself from that which he is prohibited. And he leaves off the haram and he increases himself in taqwa by asking Allah to increase him in taqwa. You make dua to Allah, oh Allah, increase me in taqwa. From the dua, for example, is, oh Allah, give my soul its taqwa. Yani, increase my soul in taqwa. You are, and give it tazkiyah, that is, tazkiyah. And purify my soul, you are the one that purifies it best. You are the wali, you are the one that is in control of it, and you are the one that commands. And this is from the dua that the Muslim can make. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. And you put your trust in Allah after making such a dua and rely upon Him and continually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in the taqwa and in being able to attain al-ma, يعني knowing him subhanahu wa ta'ala.
نحن نعلم أن لله عز وجل يدين, فهل كلتا يديه يمين؟ نعم, نثبت لله عز وجل يدين تليق به سبحانه وتعالى من غير تشبيه ولا تمثيل ولا تكييف.
We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two hands, Are both his hands right hands? Na'am. Both hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are right hands. This is due, even though it wasn't noted, this is due to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are right, and we establish that he has hands, and both his hands are right, and we do not give them examples again, nor do we try to give them any type of shape or nullify that he has hands. Rather, we just establish this characteristic, attribute of Allah, that he has hands that befit his might and majesty and greatness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
كيف يكون الإيمان بالأسماء الحسنى؟ أولا أن تتعلم أسماء الله عز وجل. ليست هذه المكتوبة 99 اسم، هذا ضعيف حصرها بهذه الأعداد وكتابتها، لكن كيف يكون الإيمان بالأسماء الحسنى؟ أن تتعلم معانيها وتعمل بها. فإذا قرأت الكريم فكن أيضا أنت كريم، وإذا قرأت السميع فكن أنت السميع، تسمع ما يقوله الله عز وجل. وإذا قرأت الغفور فاعف عمن تستطيع أن تعفو عنه، والحليم أن تكون حليما أيضا في معاملتك. فتقف أولا تتعبد الله عز وجل بهذه الأسماء، تقول أنه أنه عظيم وتكبره تعظمه، تعلم أنه هو المستحق لهذه العبادة، وربك فكبر. فأنت تكبر الله عز وجل وتخشع له بالطاعة وتسمع له، وتعلم أنه قادر على كل شيء، وأنه رؤوف وأنه رحيم. ويجب أن ينعكس هذا الإيمان بصفات الله عز وجل على سلوكك، فتحاول قدر الإمكان أن تكون رحيما، وأن تكون كما ذكرنا حليما، وأن تكون رؤوفا، وهكذا فيما يأمرك الله عز وجل من أخلاق وخير وأعمال صالحة.
The questioner, Jazahallahu Khairan, asked about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we believe in the names of Allah? What is the way that we have iman in them? First of all, the Shaykh Hafidhullah says the belief in these 99 names that are hung and written everywhere, constricting the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to 99 is weak. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. This is not what we do. Rather, we don't restrict his names to 99. This is something that's not established. Rather, what we do is we establish the names that have come to him, that he has called himself in meaning. We understand what they mean. So if you, for instance, read, Allah is Al-Kareem, he is the most generous, then you too be generous. You hear he is merciful, then you too try to be merciful. You hear he is Ghafoor, he's forgiving, then you too be forgiving. You hear he is Halim, Halim meaning that you may punish somebody and the power is in your hands, but rather what you do is you forgive. Then you too be in, you have this characteristic to yourself, for Allah has it. So it's a praiseworthy characteristic, so stick to it. You hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami', he is all hearing, then you too be all hearing to the commandments of Allah when they come to you, submitting to them as they come. And we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these names that have come to him. He is Ar-Rahman, we call upon him in that name. He is all these things. We worship him in this manner with the names that he has. And this is our iman in these names. So again, take those good names as characteristics for yourselves and implement them. They should have an effect upon your life, effect upon your dealings. It should be seen upon you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you read his names, the effect of this iman in those names should be seen upon you. Like we said, be generous and gracious and forgiving. And to the rest.
آخر سؤال. Last question. كيف يكون الإيمان بذا الجلال والإكرام؟ نؤمن أن الله عز وجل كما قال: ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. فهذه الآية نثبت فيها أن لله عز وجل وجها يليق به سبحانه وتعالى من غير تكييف ولا تمثيل ولا تشبيه. ليس كما قالت الأشاعرة أن الوجه هو الذات، فنحن نقول أن لله عز وجل وجها يليق به سبحانه وتعالى. ولا نشبهه ولا نمثله ولا نكيفه. وقوله ذو الجلال والإكرام أي أن الله عز وجل صاحب العظمة والإكرام، يكرم عبده بالمغفرة والرحمة والهداية.
The questioner, Jazakallah khairan, asks, how do we understand the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the characteristic or names of Allah? The one that is of Jalal and Ikram, greatness or being superior, and generosity. The Shaykh Hafidhullah says, yes, this has come in an ayah, and the face of your Lord will be everlasting, and He is Dhul Jalali wal Ikram, the one that is of being superior and great and generous. And we don't say, as the Ash'a'ira have stated about the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dhul Wajh, meaning the essence of Allah. Rather, it is that He has a face. He has described Himself with, and we believe in that face, and we do not, again, make any likeness of that face to the face of the creation, nor give it any shape or size or imagination we might imagine about Him, nor do we nullify it as if He didn't say it. Rather, He has a face, and we establish it, and that face befits His might and magnificence. And that's how we believe in that. Likewise, Dhul Jalal, the one of majesty, is that He is azim, He is great. He is great. And ikram, He is one that is generous with to His slaves, with mercy and giving and forgiving and guiding. Naam. لك سؤال شيخ سريع عن النساء تصف كالرجال يعني الكعب إلى الكعب والكتف إلى الكتف.
نعم.
Question asked about the women, do they line up like with their ankles to their sister's ankles and, you know, shoulders to the sister's shoulder? Yes, the women, that's how they line up as well.
نختم هذا اللقاء فنقول الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يتقبل منا ومنكم، وأن يكون هذا الاجتماع اجتماع بركة وخير. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يثبتنا على دين الله الإسلام، وأن يحسن خاتمتنا أن نموت على التوحيد، على كلمة الحق، على كلمة التوحيد لا إله إلا الله. وأوصيكم بتقوى الله عز وجل وطاعته، ونذكركم بقول الله عز وجل في سورة العصر، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وأشكر القائمين على هذا المسجد وعلى كل من ساهم في خدمة هذه الدعوة. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يتقبل منه، وأن يجعل عمله صالحا، وأن يجعله في ميزان حسناته. كما نشكر إمام المسجد على ما قدم من خدمات، وأذكركم بشيء يفعله الكثير وليس هو له أصل في السنة، وهو المعانقة عند الافتراق. لا تكون المعانقة إلا عند القدوم من السفر، عند الافتراق خلاص نصافح بعضنا بعضا. وجزاكم الله خير الجزاء، ونلقاكم على خير إن شاء الله.
بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خيرا.
الشيخ حفظه الله وبارك فيه وجزاه الله خيرا. He said, now we will end our sitting. We will end these sittings with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that only by His order or only by His permission do the blessings be established. And we ask Allah that He accepts from us and from you and that He increases us in reward. And that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the great blessing of Islam. And we ask that we die upon, that we have a good death, that we die upon some type of goodness, and we die upon the testification and bearing witness that la ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. And I advise myself and you with the taqwa of Allah, the fear of Allah, and being obedient to Him. And I say at the end of our sitting here, we're going to finally pick this up and really translate it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. By the time, verily man is in loss, except those who believe and do righteous good deeds and recommend one another to truth, order one another to perform all kinds of good deeds which Allah has ordained, and abstain from all kinds of sins and evils which Allah has forbidden, and recommend one another to patience. For the suffering, harms, and injuries which one may encounter in Allah's cause during preaching His religion of Islamic Tawheed or Jihad. As comes in the footnotes of this. So, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. And I remind myself and you as well that something many people do, and it is not from the sunnah, and that is upon departing they hug, rather the sunnah is that when you meet each other, you hug, and when you depart, you merely shake hands. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallah feekum. And I forgot to thank, he thanks everybody. He thanked a lot of people, and basically he thanks the Imam of the Masjid and its administration, and the brothers sitting down and listening, and taking their time out to come to the classes. Jazakumullah khair.